And then after the wedding yesterday.
Okay, so we're holding on Cook Dowd on the day, the line against Tom Latham.
Tom Latham, 9 lines from the bottom. Okay.
So we've been discussing the 3 Malachim and the 4 have Yosef, the mission if they have no okay with Lodom Abba. So the question is, the 3 Malachim, we said, Yerovam, Achav, and Menashe, and the 4 had Yosef, which we're going to deal with next, in the next bit of Gemara, in the next few blocks, Bilam, Doyeg, Achitofel, and Gechazi.
So the question is, Mimanon.
Wait, we'll talk about that. Wait. Who enumerated these 7 people?
In other words, basically, the Marshal says the vote is who has the ability to know who has a place in Olam Haba and not.
That's a good question.
Anshek Nesek Gerla enumerated them. Anshek Nesek Gerla included Nevi'im, so therefore they knew.
As a matter of fact, they wanted to include an 8th person as well.
Who? Shlomo HaMelech. Now, you would argue why Shlomo HaMelech, because the prophet says on him, he wrote this mitzvah, we're talking about that. But on the other hand, in his old days, the prophet says, as discussed before, that he allowed his wife to worship over the Zohar, and he wasn't Moshe Mem.
And the prophet actually says flat out about him, Vayasara Be'ene Hashem. That he did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. In Malachim, it says,
yeah.
No, well, the marriage of Baspari was the beginning of it. It was the beginning of the spiral, the downward spiral, yeah. But in the context over there, it talks about how Noshav Hituas Lubava, his wife, turned his heart away from Hashem, and then...
Hold on.
That's what we're going to learn. Exactly that. Anyway, hold on. Relax. We'll see you in the Gemara.
So they wanted to enumerate an 8th one as well. They wanted to say that Shlomo HaMelech is in this category as well.
But Mus Diokne Shalaviv. But then what happened is an image of the father of his father of David HaMelech came, v'nishtachor, v'nishtatchor l'tnehem, and bowed down in front of them, like as if to plead with them, don't do that. But they didn't pay attention to that.
He came from heaven.
He came from heaven, but they figured total over Shemayim.
It's up to the base down here on Earth 35. So it's not very nice. David HaMelech is coming and pleading with us. Hold on.
Avram Moshe. Wait. You're not the first one to ask the question.
We were saying
that who enumerated the people in our mission who don't have a chevet on the block, the Anshek Nesek Gerla. And they were going to add Shlomo HaMelech. So now, an image of David came and bowed down in front of them, and they didn't pay attention. A fire came down from Shemayim, and started tongues of fire are licking at the benches that the Chachamim were sitting on, and still they didn't pay attention. A Baskor came out and called out to them. Think of, like, you have a pasuk in Mishlei, Taka, one of the Sfarim that Shlomo HaMelech himself wrote, that says, Chazisa ish moher b'malachta, you see a person, you look at a person who's fast in his work, l'fnei melachim yisyatev, he should stand among with the kings, meaning in Gan Eden, Bal Yisyatev l'fnei chashuchim, he should not have to stand with the darkened ones, meaning the ones who are
barred from the light of Gan Eden,
the light of Tchias HaMeisim. Meaning, this pasuk refers to Shlomo HaMelech. Mi shehikim beisi leveisai, Shlomo HaMelech, who built my house, the Beis HaMikdash, before his own palace. Beloy oida, not only that, beisi bona b'shev ha-shanim, beisi bona b'shloish ha-shana. Not only that, but he built the Beis HaMikdash in only 7 years. His own palace, he took 13 years in building.
Maybe it was nicer.
What? You see from the descriptions in the Pesukim over there, in Malachim that the Beis HaMikdash was much nicer and much more and much fancier and all than his palace. But still, he hurried up.
Building ever.
That's talking about Hurdus' Beis HaMikdash. That's Hurdus' renovation of the Beis HaMikdash. But still, yeah. The fact of the matter is, we see from the Pesukim over there that the Beis HaMikdash was much fancier than Shlomo's palace. Yeah. And yet he hurried up and built the Beis HaMikdash in only 7 years, whereas his palace he took 13 years over. That's the Mahir B'Malachim, that he's fast in his work. So therefore, he deserves to be with the Malachim and not with the Chashuchim. Lifnei Malachim Yisatav, he deserves to be standing in front of the kings in Gan Eden. Bal Yisatav Lifnei Chashuchim, he shouldn't be standing with the darkened ones. And still, the Chacham didn't pay attention to that.
That's what the Baal Mitzvah
said.
Why?
The reason why is because the Pasuk says on Shlomo, we've talked before about that, how the Pasuk says that when Shlomo was old, his wives turned away his heart from Hashem, and they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he didn't protest. And the Pasuk actually says flat out about him, the Pasuk says, Vayasa Rabbe Enei Hashem. So therefore, the Anshek Nesek Dola took that to mean, therefore, that's it. He's a goner. So
was
even
they
with
his, was they his wife was a Pelosi? It doesn't matter why they're Pelosi. Whatever.
They were.
The Rambam specifically
said he was a
Gairo,
but
it wasn't
necessarily
a because you weren't supposed to be accepting Gairo. Well, you're not allowed to be in a Skyer for marriage anyway, but that's true. But more to the point, you're not allowed to be in a Skyer when it's in order to join in the wealth and prestige of the Jewish people, as it was in the times of David and Shlomo. Okay, yeah. Anyway. Yotza Baskova Amra. So now at this point, a Basko came and called out and said, using the words of a pasuk from Iyov, this answers your question. Hame'imcha yishalmena. Is it from you that the paying back is done? Meaning, are you the ones who are responsible for deciding who gets paid in what way, who has a chelek lema ba'al ma'at? This is the Eibush saying to the Anshek Nesadur. Kima asta, that you're rejecting, you thinking to reject Shlomo. You think you should be the one to pick
who goes into who and not I? And that's it. And then they accepted that.
Marshall says the last one is a little bit different. It's not a question, but a statement. You choose when it comes to Bechira Chafshi. I don't choose because I give a person Bechira Chafshi. But when it comes to determining what happens, whether a person gets Erlem Haba, whether a person gets Kesem Esim or not, that's not up to you.
What do you mean you choose who has Kesem?
No. Not you. When every person has Bechira Chafshi, you choose. In other words, when the Pasuk says Ki Ata Sivchar, you decide what to do or not. A person decides what to do or not. It's up to the Eibush to decide who gets reward and who gets punished.
People,
yeah.
Many you can mention that in Eiv.
Yeah.
Why did Eiv say that?
No. First of all, this isn't Eiv saying it. This is actually Elihu saying it to Eiv. Rashi on the Pasuk Rashi on the Pasuk there in Eiv actually says that Elihu was saying something similar to Eiv. You're complaining about how the Eibishter runs the world. Do you think it's up to you? Do you think you're the one who decides? Who should get reward?
Okay.
But also, even if it wasn't for that, a lot of times you find the Gemara will use a Lashon from a Pasuk to express something, even if that Pasuk doesn't directly have to do with what we're dealing with, just because it uses the Pasuk as a Lashon. Anyway, so what is going on over here? So what are the Anshik Nesek Dola thinking? So first of all, this that we're saying that it was Anshik Nesek Dola, which means there were Nevi'im among them, evidently... Yeah, there were Nevi'im among the Anshik Nesek Dola. Hagis, Chaya, Malachi.
They were part of Anshik.
They were part of Anshik Nesek Dola.
One obvious possibility is they had to saw something in New Nibbleworth, which they thought indicated that Shlomo is supposed to be in this group.
And therefore, even though seeing those various simonim, okay, very nice, but we got an avur to the contrary. Until the Basko comes out and says, no, you evidently misunderstood what you saw, and then fine, they have to accept that. There's a lot of other explanations, including there's an interesting one from the Rujaner. The Pasuk over there says, by Shlomo, the Pasuk says, Oz Yivne Shlomo Bama. It says, then Shlomo will build a Bama.
Yeah.
And we learned, when we talked about it a few blocks ago, that it means he intended to build it, but he never actually ended up building it. Shavikish Livnes Vele Bama. So therefore,
what happened in return is that Shiknesagola fought to exclude him from Kirpanation, from Erlem Haba.
But in the end, it didn't happen. The Midah Kenegan Midah, because he thought to build a bomber for Abu Dazar, but didn't end up doing it. Therefore, that Shiknesagola thought to exclude him from Erlem Haba, and it didn't end up happening.
Yeah, but Machshavah,
when it comes to Abu Dazar, they wish to Ismail.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's another.
When it comes to Abu Dazar, who gives them the right to...
But again, the whole point is, we're saying our Mishnah says that they were authorized to do that. Our Mishnah says that Shloisha Malach HaBa'ah HaJotah, Ein Lam Chelech Lonam HaBa'ah, the various ones that we listed in the Mishnah, and it was established in the Mishnah, and that's how it is. The Eibishter follows what the Beis Din Shomata does in many areas.
Because
in this case, this isn't something within their purview. They thought it was. They thought that it's within their jurisdiction
so
to decide...
So Shlomo Melech
was a special case. In other words, yeah.
The only reason,
in other words,
the
Eibishter
impression about Shlomo Melech is because the Anshek Nesek Dola.
Yeah. Otherwise, you would think he did also.
No, but the point is, in other words, they have the authority. We see that they have
the authority because we see it with Nikra in the Mishnah that the seven people they listed, they thought Shlomo should be in that category as well. And the Abbasel specifically came and told them that you don't get to decide when it comes to Shlomo. He's an exception. The Medrash, by the way, puts it a little bit differently. The Medrash at the beginning of Shir HaShirim Abra brings this pasuk also, Chazisa Ish, and Dauchens it about various people in Jewish history, one of them being Shlomo HaMelech, and it mentions the story with a few variations. It says that the Baskel comes out and says, "Al tigu b'mashicha, I don't touch my anointed one."
Yeah, I just say that.
Yeah.
Of course, if Shlomo was in this category, we wouldn't have Shir HaShirim, we wouldn't have...
That, actually, it's interesting you mention that, because when we say over here, "Ameimcha Yishalmena," which Rashi is translating, meaning, do you think it's up to you to decide who gets paid for what? Then Yehoyada says the word is Yishalmena, means to complete. If you do that, if you exclude Shlomo HaMelech, it means you're going to have to exclude his Svarim. How are you going to complete Tanakh, which has to consist of 24 Svarim? You're going to be excluding the three Svarim that Shlomo wrote.
Well, it's good to write Svarim.
Yeah. Anyway, the Shlomo HaKadosh has an interesting discussion of the whole
story. He says, and he's, among other things, he says, why did David come and frustrate himself in front of them? He should be coming and frustrating himself in front of Hashem. And why do they need three different proofs besides the final battle? So he explains basically that they thought that maybe they were thinking that maybe Shlomo should be excluded from several different things. First of all, that maybe his malchus shouldn't be considered a malchus of the caliber of David. And therefore, David comes and prostrates himself in front of them, like they shouldn't think of him that way. Then they thought, okay, maybe fine, his malchus is of a caliber, of the same caliber as David, but maybe he shouldn't have Seis HaNeisim, maybe he shouldn't have Olam Haba. And therefore, for each of these things, they need an individual simon. The fire told them, okay, he's deserving of Seis HaNeisim. The Baskel about Chazit Yishmor B'Malach. So they had to go through these various things.
After the fact. My question was...
Your question is, who gives them the authority? Because
they're
the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and they have the authority. And
from where?
From the fact that they're Nevi'im. From the fact that they're Nevi'im and Chachamim. Nevi'im, for the fact that they're Nevi'im and they're Chachamim. And obviously the Eibishter gave them this jurisdiction because we see that our Mishnah listed the seven people who they said, and that's it. Ein Lam Chelek Olam Haba. No, not by default, because they decided it, and therefore that's how it is. And the Eibishter ratified what they do. The Eibishter ratifies in general what the Beis Din Shalmata does.
In general, because the fact that they turn over the Shmaimi, the Eibishter follows what's decided in Beis Din on it, and therefore that's it. They say, by the way, a verse in that connection, the verse that's brought, the Rambam famously writes in Tosafot Yesod HaTorah that there's minus about the purpose to believe that the Eibishter
has a goof for anything, and the Ravid argues with the Rambam on that. He says there's Golem Betovim Mimenu, there's people greater and better Mimenu, can either mean than him than the Rambam, or it can mean than us. Who held that the Eibishter has a body in some way or other? So there's a vort brought in some sefer of Chassidus, I don't remember which one, that when the Rambam wrote that such a belief is apikorsis, then all the people, all the chacham of previous generations who had believed in this, were all thrown out of Gan Eden. And when the Ravid got a hold of it and wrote his argument to the contrary, then they were all readmitted into Gan Eden. Because the Eibishter goes according to what's done here on earth.
The Eibishter has a
goal. They have, for example, among the Goyim, there's writers, some of their writings, it seems to imply as much. Okay, anyway. But that's the vort. So they did have this jurisdiction, but the Eibishter is telling them your jurisdiction does not extend to Shlomo HaMelech. Okay. Dershid or Shuk the Jews.
To begin with.
If it wasn't, then it wouldn't be in the mission. Okay. Doshe Rishuma Toyoim. No, they're going...
You can't do the same question 8 times in a row.
Excuse me. You're not
okay. Avram Moshe. Enough, please. You've made your point. I hear your point, and I'm saying that the pastors, they were giving jurisdiction, and therefore we see that their jurisdiction was accepted, except when it came to Shlomo.
Yeah.
Fine, that's it. Darshin Rishumas Hayoimrim. However, those who darshin psukim, Rishumas has a few different meanings. It can mean psukim, it can mean difficult psukim, whatever. Hayoimrim, they used to say kulan boyin la'olam haba. That actually all these ones mentioned in the Mishnah, except for Bilam, do in fact come la'olam haba. So either they're actually arguing with the Mishnah, which fine, they're the Dorshi Rishumas or Tanoim, they can argue, or some of the Achronim, it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah and in other places, that maybe what they mean is, in principle, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola and our Mishnah are right. They don't have their own Chelek L'Olam HaBa. However, the Eibishter still has Rachmanus, and therefore he granted them, after all, to be able to get in.
Who says that?
I don't remember which Sfarim it's brought. It's brought in a number of places. Okay, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Li Gilad, there's a Pasuk in Tilim that says, mine is Gilad, the Li Menashe, and mine is Menashe, the Ephraim Mo'ez Roshi, Ephraim is the stronghold of my head, Yehuda B'chokiki, Yehuda is my lawgiver, Moyov Sirach, see, Moyov is my wash basin. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, I will throw my shoe or my lock, now can have two meanings, on Edom. Olai Pleshes Hisroi, on me, Pleshes, meaning the Plishtim, make friends with me, you know, become subjugated to me and then become allies. The simple meaning of the pasuk is talking about David Amalach is talking about, it was actually today, still didn't come to think of it. The simple meaning is David. He's talking about thanking Hashem for making his kingdom so big and powerful. But the Gemara darshins that it's actually the Eibishter talking. Li Gilad means, Li Gilad, Ze Achav Shenofel B'Ramos Gilad. The words Li Gilad refer, are remez to Achav, who fell in battle at Ramos Gilad. And therefore, Li Gilad means mine is Gilad, meaning Achav is mine after all. He does have a chelek l'Olam Haba. So why is he represented by the Ramos Gilad? Is an Eber Yajin. It's an area of Gilad. Achav came from Menashe, but that's not the point. The Gilad we're talking about. Okay. The fact that it says Gilad refers to Achav. Now why Taka? Why is he represented by the word Gilad? Because Marshal says because the fact that he was killed in battle ended up being a kapara for him. So therefore he was able to win back his chelek l'Olam Haba because of that. Matter of fact, some of the other Mepharshim point out, not only he was killed in battle, but first of all, he had actually gone to that battle to begin with in order to win back territory that originally belonged to the Jewish people and had been captured by Aram, that itself is a source. And also there's the fact, even after he was wounded in that battle, instead of collapsing over there in the chariot, and then who knows what will it do to everybody else's morale, everybody else will start running away and get killed in the flight and whatever, he strengthened himself and stood upright over there pretending like nothing's wrong so that everybody else shouldn't get scared. So that's also a minor.
Wow.
So therefore, that sort of thing, according to that, so he's represented by Gilad, representing that's why he won back his chelek l'Olam Haba. Menashe k'mashmoi. When it continues, B'li Menashe, Menashe means exactly what it sounds like, King Menashe. And why is he referred to by his name, Marshal says, because after all, we said in the Gemara before, he did tshuva. So he became what he was supposed to be. In other words, unlike all the other ones, Achav and Yeravam and the rest of them never did tshuva. So you can't say they became what their name was supposed to be. Menashe did. So he did tshuva. 33 years, yeah. Ephraim Moizroshi, when it continues, Ephraim is the stronghold of my head. Ze Yeravam, to call me Ephraim. This refers to Yeravam, who came from Shevet Ephraim.
How did he make up all the murder that he did?
Who, Achav?
Menashe.
It's a good question, but nevertheless, at least he did tshuva enough. That's enough to win him a place in Olam Haba, according to the Jewish Shulchan. So Yeravam b'Kalsim Ephraim, and what's the point? Therefore, because he was, remember, he was the one chosen to be the first king of the Aseret HaShavatim. Means he had a certain mila. He established that kingship. Therefore, that's enough of a mila to win him back his place in Olam Haba. He was chotir machdei Yisrael. Okay, all true, and he needs his cleaning up in Gehenna for that. But eventually his real self is that he represents Shevet Ephraim.
Brilliant. Who made all these?
But you were that's the Dersh and Shumas were saying that they darshan based on this pasuk that they have a place in Olam Haba.
Why is that?
Ephraim, Moiz Roshi, Ephraim, the stronghold of my head. It means, in other words,
why
that
Ephraim,
because Ephraim was one of the main Shvatim, where first of all, Yeravam himself was from Shevet Ephraim. He started the kingship of the Aseret HaShvatim, and in that sense, okay, it turned out to be a negative thing because of the Egla Azav and whatever, but in origin, it was a positive thing. It's by the way, it's brought in various places, it's brought in Zoya Chodosh and in various other places, that actually no less than Menashe ben Yosef is a descendant of Yeravam. So therefore, in other words, Yeravam had a lot of good in him. And the Dershe Rishumas, actually, I'll tell you, by the way, I forgot to mention, when we say Dershe Rishumas, there's an interesting Chassidish Avort, and it's from a Tzaddik of Lublin, who says that Rishumas over here also means the Rishimu, the Roshem, the vestige of Kedusha that every Yid has, no matter how low he fell. The Alter Rebbe talks about a similar concept in Tanya, that you have a Rishu, even a person who's Chayes Kares, there's a Rishimu of Kedusha in him, therefore he's able to live till 50, 60 years old before Kares catches up with him. So on this basis, Dershe Rishumas means the ones who darshan and found that each of these people has a Roshim, has a vestige of Kedusha in them, enough to be able to win them back their place in Olam Haba. Okay, so that's your problem.
Yehuda Machoyki, when the Pasuk means
Yehuda is my lawgiver, Zachit Teufel, the Kasim Yehuda. And this refers to Achitofel, who came from Shevet Yehuda. How do we know he came from Shevet Yehuda? Rashi says because David HaMelech calls him and tell him, Alufi Umyudoi. Alufi means my master, because he taught him two things, and as we say in Pirkei Avot, Myudoi, Rashi says, the literal meaning of Myudoi is my friend. But Rashi understands that Myudoi also means my relative, because they were both from Shevet Yehuda.
And he's the one. What was
Achitofel? So he joined in Absalom's rebellion against David, and he was the one who suggested to Absalom a plot how to kill David. And in the end, he committed suicide. As a matter of fact, by the way, there's a common thing that people say that a person who commits suicide has no chelik l'olam haba. It's not so easy to find a source for it, but some of the Achronim say you see it from this, because the Gemara never ends up bringing an actual pasuk that shows that Achitofel lost his place in olam haba, but evidently that's the implication. But again, our Dorshei Rishonim are saying that nevertheless he still has back of chelik l'olam haba. Either the fact he was for to Tamar Chacham and he did die Miss Mishona, maybe that won him his back, or it means the chesed of the Eidish.
Is he the one that also convinced Shaul that the sisters David cut off of Shaul?
No, that was Avner. That was Avner. Okay, so another.
Dorosh Rishuma? What did you
say? Dorosh Rishuma. The ones who darshan, the simple meaning of Rishuma is it means psukim, or it means difficult psukim, or it means hints, or whatever.
Oh, is that?
The vort about the roshim is from a psukim of Lublin.
Okay, what
yeah.
What is it, a sefer?
Dorosh Rishuma, no, it's people who darshan these things, and it's not written down as a sefer.
Oh, okay. It's in the Gemara?
It's in the Gemara, right here. Dorosh Rishuma, three lines to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, okay, another proof, by the way, that Achitofel came from Yehuda is the Pasuk says that he's Achitofel HaGiloini, meaning that he came from the city called Giloi. Giloi is a city at the Nachla of Shevet Yehuda. Nowadays, there's a suburb of Yerushalayim called Giloi, which is it's not necessarily the exact same place, but it's in that general vicinity. Okay. Moyov Sirach. See, the Pasuk continues, Moyov is my wash basin. Zegechazi Shaloka Alifkiruchitza. This is a hint to Gechazi, who ended up getting Sarah, who got Sarah, because of a matter having to do with washing. The whole story with Naaman over there, who had Tzaraas, and Elisha told him to go dip seven times in the Yarden, and then he was cured of his Tzaraas, and then Gehazi took stuff from him, which we'll talk about later on Kufzai, and we'll talk about the whole story. But again, the point is, the fact that he got Tzaraas, that wins him back his place in Olam Haba. That Yisurim won him back his place in Olam Haba, according to the Dorosh Rishonim. The question is, what is Moyov doing in the pasuk over there? What does Moyov have anything to do with Gehazi? So Rashi says that Moyov refers to David. In which case, Marsha says maybe Moyov refers to the end of the previous pasuk. Yehuda mechokeki Moyov. Who is saying Yehuda is my lawgiver? Moyov, David, who comes from Moyov, because Achitofel taught him Torah.
Yeah,
that's the point. In other words, because he taught David Torah, therefore that's a certain schus that Achitofel had. And then Sirachi would now refer.
He came from
Yehuda, we said. And David, what David is descended from Rusa Mayavia.
So what's Moab doing?
That's Moab. I just said Yehuda Mechokeki is the end of one pasuk.
Right.
Moyav is the beginning of the next pasuk.
Right.
The implication is Yehuda Mechokeki Moyav, they go together. Moyav, namely David, who comes from Rus Hamoyavia, is saying Yehuda Mechokeki. Yehuda, meaning Achitofel, is my lawgiver because he taught me Torah. Okay, so then Sirachti would be Gehazi. Yes. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, Zed Doyagad Daimi. Then when the pasuk continues, on Edom I will throw my shoe or my lock.
Right.
This refers to Doyagad Daimi, so Edom Ha Daimi.
Right.
So what does it mean? What does it mean? So Rashi understands it in terms of a lock. Like I will lock him up in Gan Eden. Like in other words, Al Derech, like we say by Ne'ilo, the gates of Shemaim are closing with us inside. So therefore, So to say,
Marsha understands it in the sense of shoe. We're going to talk about later on.
We're going to talk about what Doeg's punishment was. That eventually, whatever, we're going to discuss what exactly happened to him. It was Oynish. Part of it was that his ashes were scattered under the feet of the Tamil Chachamim. We'll talk about Bez Hashem, what it means literally, metaphorically, whatever. The point is, because he had that bizoyan that happened to him, that he's under the feet of the Tamil Chachamim, under the feet and the shoes, that was enough of a kapara for him. That's Al Edom Ashlis Nali. Like my shoes are thrown on Edom. Then the pasuk finishes, Olai pleshes hitroyoi, that on me pleshes become friendly. Meaning, what does that part mean? Omer malach ha'asharet l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means the malachim argue to the Eibishter, Ribbono shel Olam, im yavo do, you want to let all these people back into Gan Eden and into Olam Haba. Im yavo David jehoragas ha'plishti, but what about if David comes, who killed the plishti Goliath, that's pleshes, v'horish ha'sbanach ha'gas, and he caused that your children, the Jewish people, inherit the city of Gath, which was the plishti capital city. If he comes and complains, Haytochen, you're letting my enemies, Doeg and Achitofel and Yerovam, who rebelled against my kingship, and so forth, why are you letting them into Gan Eden? Hamata Oisele, what are you going to do for him? Amar HaKadosh, Amar Lahem.
It's like in Gan Eden.
Yeah, the wise David has a vowel of Mekhi on the face of it. Amar Lahem, the Eivish Tehem says, Amar HaKadosh, Amar Lahem, Zeh Lazeh. You're right. I it will be my responsibility to make them
friends to each other. So he's really Oy Meloshin Rei. The Eivish is saying, yes, I will have to take the responsibility of appeasing David and between David and Achitophel and then the rest of them and then therefore, so that's it. So therefore, they can win back the Chelik Levin Abba.
If they become friends.
That's the Eivish is saying, I'll take responsibility.
But it's conditional.
Yeah, well, that's the Eivish is saying, I'm going to do it, so then it's as good as done.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he can do what he says.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to... The Eivish. Yeah.
You
okay.
Think so?
Come on.
Really?
Onward. Okay. We talked before about David, so therefore we're going to mention another thing over here which eventually circles back to David, but also before we talked about the Golos, so now we're going to talk about something else that has to do with that. Omer Rav, starting with a pasuk. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Madua shoyim v'ha omer zeh Yerushalayim meshuva nitzachas v'dem. Why is it that this people, the people of Yerushalayim, the simple meaning of shoyim is like they've gone the wrong way. For example, it means in a certain sense it means to be mischievous. It means to go to return to their old bad ways or whatever. Why are they returning? Why are they doing that? Meshuva nitzachas, a turning away nitzachas. So nitzachas, the poshim on the positive say nitzachas can mean meloshin netzach, like they seem to be doing it forever. The Gemara over here is going to understand it meloshin nitzachin, meloshin winning an argument. Meaning, Omer Rav, shuva nitzachas yeshiva knesset Yisrael l'navi. Meaning that the Jewish people give a winning argument to the Navi. Some of the Mephoshim want to say that actually Tshuva Nitzachas ends up being, we're going to see, it's not such a winning argument. The Navi slugs it up. But nevertheless, either the idea, as Marsha says, they thought of it as a winning argument, so therefore that doesn't mean like they think it's a winning argument, and therefore they're using it as an excuse not to do Tshuva. Or some people say maybe Faker, Tshuva Nitzachas, Taka in Gemara terminology, may mean an answer that is refutable. So then the question is Faker. If their argument is so easily refutable, then why are they persisting and then not doing Tshuva? Anyway, what was the argument? Amar lahem Novi Yisroel, Chizru b'Tshuva. So the Novi, Zechariah, says to the Jewish people, do Tshuva. Aviseichem shechotu heichan heim. After all, where are your fathers who did Averis? They're dead. They should have done Tshuva like this. You should learn from them. Omru lahem, so the people...
They're dead because they didn't do
Tshuva. Yeah, and the people answer back, Nuviyeichem shechotu heichan heim. Nu, and the Nevi'im didn't do Averis, and they're also dead. Shenema, as the Pasuk Taka says, in Zechariah, Aviseichem ayeheim, v'anevi'im lo'olam ha'olam yichyu. The Pasuk Taka says, your fathers, where are they? And the Nevi'im, will they live forever? Meaning, the Gemara is understanding that these are two different voices in an argument. The Novi telling them, Aviseichem ayeheim, therefore you should be doing Tshuva. And they're answering, so what? Hanevi'im lo'olam yichyu. However, Amar lahem, but the Navi answers to them, Aviseichem chozru v'hoidu. We have Aviseichem in parenthesis over here because there's two different versions, two different understandings of what the Gemara means. Is it that he's saying your fathers, in the end, recognize that they did wrong and did Tshuva, therefore you should be doing the same thing? Or without that, chozru v'hoidu, the people themselves ended up agreeing that the Navi was right. Because what's the difference? The point is, Marashah says, it's true, of course, the Nevi'im are dead, where eventually everybody dies. The difference is, he's saying to them, your fathers who did Avedis died and all kinds of misses, Mishunas, at the time of the Churban, and some of them we don't even know where they're buried and so forth, as opposed to the Nevi'im died natural death. So therefore, even the ones who were killed got buried at least.
A natural death.
Fine, but at least...
We
had, for example, the people killed Zechariah, the original Navi Zechariah, not the one we're talking about now, but the original one. The people killed another Navi called Uriah. Fine, but by and large, the Nevi'im died natural deaths. And the ones that not, they were killed by the people, not because of Averis they did, but because the people were Rishayim. Shenema, as the pasuk continues there in Zechariah, however, my words and my mitzvahs, which I commanded my servants in the Nevi'im, the people eventually realized that they did wrong, and they said that they realized we needed to do Tshuva. They realized what Hashem did to us, what we deserved for breaking those dvarim v'chukim. So therefore, if we have the word aviseichem, it means they themselves. When they had all these tzoris and all the time of the Churban, realized the taka happened because we did wrong and we did Tshuva. And now, the next generation, Zechariah is saying to them, well, by the same token, you should learn a lesson from them and do Tshuva. If we don't have the word Aviseichem, it means that the people themselves, taka accepted that argument of Zechariah, that it's true, taka. Our fathers died Mrs. Mishunas, And therefore, we tzaka should take a lesson from it, and we have to do tshuva. Yeah. So again, if we say that meshuva nitzachat means, if we say tshuva nitzachat means a strong argument, then it means the tzaka wasn't strong in the end because the Navi easily refuted it, but it means they themselves originally thought it was a very strong argument, and they're using it as an excuse not to do tshuva. And if we say that tshuva nitzachat means a weak argument, then it means, why are people using such a weak argument to not do tshuva? Whatever, but in the end, they did. In the end, we're saying they did do tshuva. Okay. Shmuel, Shmuel says, what's this meshuva nitzachat? What's this strong argument that they're bringing to claim they shouldn't have to do tshuva? Bo asara b'nei adam v'yashva l'fanam. 10 people came in front of him, in front of the Navi, and sat in front of him. Who's the him? A different medrash says that was the Navi Yechezkel. That was the Navi Yechezkel. Amr lahem chizru b'tshuva. The Navi Yechezkel says, then do tshuva. Amr loy, so they say to him, why? Eved shemachru rabbi, when you have an eved, when you have a slave whose master sold him, the isha shadir shabayla, or a woman whom her husband divorced, klum yesh lazal zeklum, does one have any further claims against the other? So they're arguing, the Eveshter has sold us to Nebuchadnezzar, the Eveshter has, so to speak, divorced us, therefore what, we don't have any responsibility to keep mitzvahs anymore. Marshall says, in fact, why do they have to after 10 people come to make a pahesti of it, to make it a public statement of this? So the Eveshter tells the Navi, go tell them as follows, using a pasuk from Yeshaya. You're arguing that you were divorced or sold. No. Where is this document of divorce of your mother that I sent her away? And it was no such thing. I never divorced you. Or who is it that I owe something to that I sold you to them? Meaning, in other words, it's not like I owe anybody that I should have had to sell them to you to pay back the debt that I owe them. I'm the Eveshter. I don't owe anybody anything. So I didn't really sell you, in other words. Hein b'aben eseichem nimkartem. You've been sold, you've seemingly sold, only because of your avedus, over fishachem shulcha imchem. The only reason your mother, meaning the Jewish people collectively, have been sent away is because of your avedus. Meaning, in other words, you're wrong in saying that the Eveshter has divorced us and sold us. No, the Eveshter is still the only, it seems like that because of your Avedus, but it's not really like that, and therefore you have to do tshuva, and that seeming sale and that seeming and seeming divorce will be undone and shown that it was and shown that it never happened.
There's an interesting verse that one of the acronyms says a bit of a Jewish verse. There's a din we learned some time back
that what if a husband says to his wife, you're divorced today but not tomorrow, is such a thing? And it was like he wants to do a temporary divorce. Is such a thing chal or not? So Rava discusses over there. Once it took effect today, then it can be effective forever. So what happens? So the Rambam says it's not a valid divorce. However, Meforshim and the Rambam say that it would actually be if the husband died that same day, because then once it was cut off at the beginning, then it stays that way. But Taka, if he's still alive the next day. Now, so the Jewish people thought, well, in that case, the halacha apparently is like Rava. Therefore, if the Eveshter has divorced us now, it must be its permanent thing. Whereas the Navi is explaining to them, now again, this is all Derech Drush, that the Navi is explaining to them, no, but the difference is that the Eveshter is not a human being. The Eveshter is alive forever. Therefore, you're not going to have that it can be effective today and then it's effective forever. No, or it can't be effective now and then it can't be effective forever because you have to have krisis. Back then, it's not a permanent thing.
How would we know if there was krisis?
What do you mean, how would we know if there was krisis? The Navi is telling them in the words that, look, there is no get, and even you're claiming that you have been sent into Golos, true, but you know that it's only a temporary thing. You know that the Golos has been said, this is Golos Bavel, has been said to be for only 70 years. So don't you think then that once, given to Pascha, that once the cutting off has been done, then it remains that way permanently? No, that would only apply to a boss of Adam. It doesn't apply to the Eveshter.
Fine, but we live in a time where there is...
But nevertheless, we're also told that our current Golos has an end also.
Right.
What do you mean by? Throughout Tanakh, you have things we learned earlier in the Perek about that there's going to be Mashiach, there's going to be Tzeit HaMeisim. So we know that. So we know that. That is a fact. Yeah.
Even on the level of husband and wife, the husband sends the wife away overseas to America.
Right, but here the argument is that they were claiming that they were actually divorced. But yeah, okay, so the Navi is telling them, no, you have not been divorced. You think that you have. There's no actual get. So no, you haven't been divorced. Okay. You've been separated, yeah. V'hainu de Amar Rish Lakish, and thus we also find this fits with what Rish Lakish says. The Amar Rish Lakish, V'hainu de Amar Rish Lakish, Mai dechtiv David Abdi Nebuchadnezzar Abdi. Why is it on the one hand David is called Hashem's servant, and Nebuchadnezzar also, the Abdi, is called David's servant? How does Nebuchadnezzar, a Russia like that, get to be called? In Yirmiyah, it's over here on the side. Yirmiyah Mem Gimel. So of course, the reason is Goliv Yadur the Knebi Sha'am of Ahayyarim, because it's well known and revealed to the one who spoke and the world was created, Zavishta, Shasid Yisrael Lemakak, that the Jewish people eventually are going to make such a claim that we have been sold to somebody else and therefore we're potter from Mitzvah. Lefichach Hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kroy Abde. Therefore, the Zavishta preempts that by calling the Nebuchadnezzar as Eved, because Eved Shekadon Lechasim, Eved Lami, Nechasim Lami. Because if an Eved acquires Nechasim, the Eved himself belongs to his master, the Nechasim belongs to his master. So by the Zavishta saying, Nebuchadnezzar Abdi, amounts to preempting and saying, no, Nebuchadnezzar himself is my slave, my servant, and therefore, no, I haven't sold you to any third party. You're still under my jurisdiction.
And after the Golos of Rome, no one thought of that, so...
I guess not.
Halachically, it's correct, but it's a weak way of expressing it.
No,
we belong to the Avish.
But that's what it is. In other words, we're under the control of Nebuchadnezzar, fine, but we're still the Avish as Avadim. Avadahem, v'lay Avadim, l'Avadim, ultimately, yeah. And thus we have a pasuk later on in that same parak, Yechezkel continues, v'o'la aruchachem ho'yolaitia, this that's coming into your mind will not be. Asha'atim omrim, that you're thinking Nia Kagoyim, let's be like all the other nations, Kemishkachot Ha'aratis, like all the other families on the earth, L'sharet Eitzva Eben, that will worship wood and stone. Nope. Chai Oni Nu'um Hashem Alekim, I swear as I live, says Hashem Alekim, Im Loi B'yad Chazoko, V'zrei Neturio, V'chem Eshvucha, Em Leich Aleichem, that I will rule over you with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. Meaning, whether you like it or not, I'm still the Eivishter and you're still my people. And Omer of Nachman, here Nachman says in that connection, Kopi Hai Rischa Lutach Rachmana Alon Velefrikinen. Yeah, let the Eivishter show such anger against us as long as Abi takes us out of Golos. If that's what it takes, if the Eivishter has to show in an angry way that he's our king and take us out of Golos, then fine, let it be that way. Abi, we get out of Golos. Mind you, the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah that even though that's true, we still, this pasuk mentions Emlei Chaleichem, it could in theory be a pasuk of Malchus. We don't use it in Malchus on Rosh Hashanah, because still on Rosh Hashanah we don't want to mention the Eivishter's anger, but nevertheless, the idea behind it is a valid idea, is an important idea, that, as we learned earlier in the parak, one way or the other, Mashiach is going to come, whether the Jewish people deserve it, whether they don't deserve it, whatever, ultimately the Eivishter is going to, if he has to, will force the issue.
But he's not a melech on the going.
Also, we say in davening, "Ki Hashem Amlocho Moshiel Bagoyim." It talks about the portion on Sukkim. Talk about what many places in Siddur. A melech is somebody who governs with the consent of his subject. A moshiel is a dictator who governs without the consent of his subject. To us, the Eivishter is a melech. To the goyim, he's a moshiel.
Possibly
Emlech Aleichem. Fine.
Could be like he's a moshiel.
But the meaning of the words, I will show that anger, but I will bring you back to me so that you will accept me with your consent as your king.
That's
what it means. By consent.
Not by force.
Yeah. Okay. Another argument that the Nevi, that the people have with the Nevi'im, about where the Nevi'im are telling them to do tshuva, based on another pasuk in Yishaya, pasuk is v'yisrei lamishpat elekav yerenu. What does this mean? Amar Rav Babachana, Amar lahen Novi Yisrael chizru b'tshuva. Again, the Novi is telling the Jewish people, do tshuva. They say, we can't. The Yetzirah is controlling us. So therefore, this is the first part. The Yisrael LaMishpat. He's telling them, give Musur, give Yisurim to your Yetzirah, LaMishpat, in a way that you judge it and then tell it to back off. So they're arguing we can't. In meaning, Omer Lahem Yasri Yisrechem. So he tells them, give Musur to your Yetzirah. The Navi is saying, they're saying we can't because the Yetzirah is controlling us. He says, fine, Yasri Yetzirchem, fine, give Musa to your Yetzirah, put it under control. Wait, Omruloi, they answered that, they're like, Kav Yadenu. Fine, let the Eivishter tell it to back off of us. Yerenu, Meloshim Hora, or Meloshim Hora, Yerenu can also mean Meloshim, throw him away, let the Eivishter throw him away. Now, the Yad Ramah makes a point of saying, nevertheless, though, that's still not a valid argument to say we can't do tshuva. Bechira Chavshit is in the hands of a human being. You can ask the Eivishter for help. We say every day in davening, Vayushalit Bono Yetzirah. But we said yesterday about a bracha that David gave to Shlomo in that vein. But nevertheless, it's still up to the person. You can't use the excuse of a kav yirenu.
No. Yeah. One second. We're saying here it's much easier to do tshuva without yitzhara than to do it with it. With, or at least a weaker yitzhara than a stronger yitzhara.
What we're saying over here, that a person is responsible for using the yitzhara. Okay. They're arguing that a kav yirenu, but that's still not a valid argument. They're arguing it can't be yasted in. Nevertheless, though, that's not necessarily a bad. It has a certain validity. We can ask. The Eidush. We have the right to ask the Eidush to weaken to make it easier for us to control our Yetzer Hara.
Yes,
but not to say that.
Well,
come on.
Right there.
But
second one end.
But to say that we can't do tshuva because our Yetzer Hara is too powerful, that's not a valid argument. So this is another example of tshuva nisbatah. Arguing with what seems to be an unassailable argument, how we can't do tshuva, but the answer is it's not so unassailable. The fact is that's what a person is supposed to do. There are different levels of tshuva. Fine, so a person has to start.
The stronger the yitzhara, the lower the tshuva.
Okay, but nevertheless, a person has to do some kind of tshuva and then work on it, and I'm getting higher and higher. Okay, yeah. All right. Now the Mishnah had said, Abba had yotzeh, so before we said there was three kings, and now we have the four commoners who lost their chelek in Abba. Bilam, the doeg, back to the dick. So let's start talking about each one of them in turn. Number one is Bilam. So what does his name, Bilam, signify? Beloy of, without a people. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means he has no chelek with the people. But not just meaning the Jewish people. Meaning he was a guy, nevertheless, though he was a Navi. In fact, the Medrash says that in a certain sense, his Nebuah was of the same caliber as Moshe Rabbeinu. So you would think, therefore, that maybe he has a chelek with us. No, the loy am, he has no place with our people. There's a few other explanations also, including that it means that the Aruch says that it means he left his people. He was from Aram Naharaim and he left there to come to Moab and Midian to try to curse the Jewish people and later to seduce them. So therefore, he's a person with no nation. Like now he doesn't belong to any nation. Also, there's another view saying instead of Beloy on Bola on, tried to swallow up the Jewish people. Okay. Dover Acha Bilam Shabila. Another explanation of the name Bilam is he wore out the people. Or Rashi says actually Shabala means Shabilbo Yisrael Batsata. He confused the Jewish people with his advice, as we'll learn tomorrow, that he's the one who gave the advice for Benois Midian to entrap the Jewish people. That's Shabala. Why is he called Ben Ba'ur? Why is he called the son of Ba'ur? Shabbat al Ba'ir, because he had relations with an animal. Ba'ir means an animal. So therefore, Ben Ba'ur means that. Tana. Hu Ba'ur, hu Kushan Rishasayim, hu Lavan Haram. One second. Okay, so we learn in a Braisa. Ba'ur, who on the face of it is the father of Lavan, is the same as Kushan Rishasayim and the same as Lavan Haram. Ba'ur, we know, is the father of Bilam. Lavan, we know. Who is Kushan Rishasayim? This is in Sefer Shoftim. You have the how in Sefer Shoftim, over and over, you have the Jewish people do Avedis. So the Eidishter causes them to be given over in the hands of some powerful local Goyish nation, which rules over them for a certain period of time until eventually the Jewish people do Tshuva, and the Eidishter sends the Shofet to save them. And this cycle repeats throughout most of the time of the Shoftim. The first one after Yoshua and the Canaan passed away is Kushan Rishasayim, the king of Aram, who oppresses the Jewish people for 8 years until Othniel ben Kenaz comes as the Shofet, and the Eidishter gives him the power to defeat Kushan Rishasayim. So they're all the same person. Now, you have the usual question, and the Poshim asks, what does that mean? It was 500 years from the time of Lavan until the time of Kushan Rishasayim, the beginning of the Shoftim, is like 500 years. So you have the usual various explanations that it means they're all the same kind of person, it means they're descendants of each other, it's a Gilgal of the other, etc.
There's some sort of connection
between them. Why did he have these three names? Ba'ur Shabal Ba'ir. He's called Ba'ur, as we just said, because he had relations with an animal. Where there were Kushan Rishasayim, the Ovid Shtei Rish Oyas B'Yisrael. He's called Kushan Rishasayim because he did two evil things. Rishasayim means double rishas. Two wicked things against the Jewish people. Achas Yimei Yaakov, Achas Yimei Shvayt HaShoftim. One is in the times of Yaakov, when Lavan chased after Yaakov and was going to destroy him. Lavan Bikash Lakar HaSakol, as we say in Agada. And the other time, in the time of the Shoftim. Well, Mashmo, Lavan Aram, his real name is Lavan Aram. So now, the Rashi says over here that what it means is that the Ur is actually his father. in that case, then why are we saying that he had relations with an animal? So some of them approach him and say maybe both him and his father. The Shalach Kodesh says that actually...
Who's him with the father?
Ba'ur, the father of Bilam ben Ba'ur.
Yes. The both and the father.
Yes. So that according to that, it might be both of them did. The Shalach Kodesh says that actually the printed version of Rashi we have may be mistaken, that it may be that Rashi meant to say that Bilam and Ba'ur are actually two names for the same person. He's not literally the son of Ba'ur, but rather he's called ben Ba'ur because he's a person who was mezana with an animal.
Is he not only married to the...
No, he's allowed to be married, but why he chose to do it with an animal, there's a one idea is some Mephoshim say we find in other places in the Torah that doing that kind of thing gives a person it connects a person more to the Kochas HaTumah and therefore like makes his kishuf stronger. He wanted to be the biggest possible Makashit, he did that in order to give himself that extra boost from the Kochas HaTumah. The Maharal says something vaguely similar, that the Chamur, we're going to talk about that he had relations with the Chamur. Chamur symbolizes Chumrius, implying that he wanted to attach himself to the ultimate in Chumrius, to the ultimate in Gashmi. Yeah.
Is he married?
I don't know. I don't know. History doesn't record that. Yeah. Okay. Ksib Ben Ba'ur, Ksib Benoi Ba'ur. So now let's talk a little more about Bilam. In some psukim, he's called Ben Ba'ur, he's called the son of Ba'ur, and in other places, he's called Benoi Ba'ur. He says that in one of his nevuot, a couple of his nevuot, he says Benoi Ba'ur. Literally, Benoi Ba'ur means his son is Ba'ur. So what is it? Ba'ur is father or his son? Amar Rav Yechanan, of his Benoi Hu Loi Benevius. It means Ba'ur is Takeh, his father. But his father was like a son as far as being a Navi. In other words, his father was a lesser Navi than he is. So in that sense, like Benoi Ba'ur, as if like his father Ba'ur is like his son, weaker than him. So the question is, Bilam hu deloy osu la'amud osu ha'achurin the osu. So what is the Mishnah saying? Bilam among is one of these people who doesn't have a chelik le'el mabah, implying other goyim can. Masnisin mani, who must on Mishnah be like? Rabbi Yeshua, he on Mishnah, therefore must be like Rabbi Yeshua. Ditani, as we learn in a b'raita, machloitas on this question. Do goyim have a chelik le'el mabah? Rabbi Yezer, you have a pasuk in Tehillim that says Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola. The Rishayim will return to Sha'ol, meaning Gehenim. Kol Goyim Shechei Elikim, all the Goyim who have forgotten about the Eidishter. Meaning, Rabbi Yezer says, one second, Rabbi Yeshua. No, Rabbi Yezer says we're talking two different groups. Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola. When it says the Rishayim will go into Sha'ol, Eilu Poshi Yisrael. This refers to the Rishayim among the Jewish people. Kol Goyim Shechei Elikim, Eilu Poshi Ebi Kachavim. Whereas the Kol Goyim Shechei Elikim would refer to the wicked Goyim, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And by the way, Poshe might be something that was added in by the censors. The Yad Ramah actually says that it's talking about the Shiva almost, but even that might have been changed by the censors as well. It might mean in general that Rabbi Eliezer holds the Goyim in general. Yeah. This is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says to him, "B'chinem b'chol Goyim." After all, the pasuk doesn't say among all the within all the Goyim that all of them are v'aloi v'nemer elakol Goyim shechei elakim. The pasuk says any of the nations who have forgotten Eidishter. Ella, no, Yeshua Rishayim L'Shoyim. So no, Rabbi Yeshua says the pasuk is talking about one group. The Rishayim will go to Shoyim. Maninu, who are these people who are going to go to Gehenim? Kol Goyim shechei elakim. Only the Goyim who have forgotten the Eidishter. Meaning, even among the Goyim themselves, the ones who haven't forgotten the Eidishter, the Chassidim or Masorim, do have a Chelek Le'el Mabah.
The Goyim don't go directly to the
Eidishter,
sorry.
Fine, but nevertheless, they have a certain Chelek Le'el Mabah, because after all, Goyim have, for one thing, you know, many Rishonim talk about the idea that in general, when we talk about Olam Mabah and we talk about being close to the Eidishter, it includes, and Chassidim also talks about the idea, it includes the idea that you'll be able to understand El Akut more with your Seichel. Well, Goyim have a nefesh asichlis. Goyim have a seichel as well. So therefore, to a certain extent, it can, you know, they can get something out of it.
They can still interact through
Sarim. Okay, fine. So they interact through Sarim, but they have
definitions.
They're entitled because of that to do shittur, but it doesn't mean necessarily they do. If they taka believe in the Eivishter and they taka keep the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, then they're not Shechei Elikim.
They
have the capacity to keep the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, of course.
No, not to keep the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noyach.
And if they do, then they still maybe get their Hashpah through the Sarim, I don't know, but the point is, therefore they have a connection with Eivishter in that sense, because they're keeping his Mitzvahs. And therefore, for example, Rashi says, when we learn at the beginning of the parak that there's going to be there's going to be Limos and Mashiach, Goyim are going to be pasturing our sheep and taking care of the other guys. These are the Nimos HaMashiach. This is what we're including, man. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
Directly connected.
I don't know. I guess so. I guess according to this. Yeah. Because the world is created, everything in the world happens Hakol b'shvil Yisrael, the Gemara says. So therefore, in that sense, goyim are there as part of the background, kind of. They're there in order to make a civilized world. But they're not the primary purpose of the world, and therefore, in that sense, just like for example, goyim tameach chai don't have the chiruch chashit because they're there only to their purpose is to the extent that we use them for matters of kedusha. So it is, yeah.
Isn't it more to give us perceptions?
We have that. Well, there's a different matter. Yeah, there's not actual physiological differences between Jews and Goyim. No, that's because it talks about Siddur, this idea that by rights, for example, it says by rights, it's brought in a mime or someplace, or whatever, by rights, Goyim should walk on all fours, like animals. But if that was the case, if only Jews walked on two feet, then it would be obvious between the difference between a Yid and a Goyim, there'd be less the fit of conscience. Right. So therefore, the Eivishter made Goyim also to give us
more pure stuff.
Fine, but he was asking why is it says in Siddur that Goyim have less the fit of conscience. Okay, yeah. Right.
But they do have some.
They have some. Well, okay.
I mean, why isn't Titus?
What about Titus? What about
considered one of the Yeshua?
Because we're saying in general, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, for sure, Goyim like Titus don't have a chelik. The point is, Rabbi Yeshua, the point is, our Mishnah is saying that Bilam doesn't, even though Bilam was a Navi, nevertheless he doesn't. Of course, any other Goyim shechelikim, kavachomer, yeah. So the point is, the Mishnah had to single out Bilam, because otherwise we would think that maybe he would have a chelik on the Mabah, because after all, he was a Navi. Yeah. All right. So that, and the halacha, by the way, is like Rabbi Yeshua. The Rambam writes in a couple of places that indeed chesidim omosar elam avachelik elam avach. Okay. V'af oisir rosha nosin simin ba'atme. As a matter of fact, that rosha Bilam gave a simin about himself to know whether he's going to have a chelik elam avach. Omar, he said, Tomos nafshi mosi sharim. He says in one of his brachas to the Jewish people, he says, may I die the death of the righteous, of the upright. And the pasuk continues of Si Achriti Kamoyu, may my end be like his, meaning Im Tomei Snapshim Moshi Shorim. If I die the death of the upright, the normal death, Te Achriti Kamoyu, then fine. It's a simon to me that I will have an end like theirs, that I'll go into Gan Eden. Vim Lav. But if not, as he says in a later pasuk, Hinini Holech Ba'ami, that I'm just going with my other people, we're all going down to Gan. The Yad Ramah says a slightly different thing on it. The simon wasn't whether he, in the end, by the way, Bilam got killed by the sword, so he didn't die Moshe Shorim. The Yad Ramah says a bit differently. If in the end it turns out I don't have Averus, then it means I'm going to have the same Achris as the Jewish people. If I wind up having Averus, well, what happens? In the end, he advises Balak, go and trap the Jewish people. Therefore, he says, now I know I have Averus. Therefore, I know I'm not going with the Jewish people to Gan Eden. I know I'm going the other direction.
How did he know he had Averus?
Because he knew. He just told Balak how to entrap the Jewish people in Averus. So obviously, there he's a choyter machias Ram. Obviously, he has Averus.
The question was,
and in that case, by the way, according to that explanation of the Yad Ramah, it comes out that look at this. Bilam hated the Jewish people so much he's willing to forego his Olam Haba in order to entrap the Jewish people.
So what was the question?
He was saying originally that if he hadn't, he was saying at an earlier point, if I end up not having Averus, then I pack a will go to Eilam Abba, because then he won't be Goyim Shechei Elikim, because then he'll be a Chosid or Masada.
He
thought that there might be a possibility, maybe, but in the end, it turned out that not. Okay. All right. Okay, that's true, yeah.
That's
enough
amazing.
Okay.
No.
He was saying about himself. Moshe Shorim, normally upright people die a natural death. In this case, he died by the sword. He was killed. He was killed for his crime. So therefore,
exactly.
That's not it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's Bilam ben Barahogavachar during the war.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to darshan some of the psukim in the story of Bilam. It says the elders of Moav and Midian went to go and talk to Bilam. Tana, Midian and Moav lahayolahem shalom me'olam. Midian and Moav had never gotten along. Matter of Rashi actually brings on the pasuk by Yishlach, by one of the kings of Edom, it says that hamakes Midian this day Moav. He defeated Moav on the field of Midian because they were always enemies. So these two nations were fighting with each other, and the king of Edom came in on one side. So, but now when it came to this against the Jewish people, they made peace. Marshal the Shnei Klavim Shayubeidu. It's like two dogs that were in a flock. That was whatever territory. I don't know. It's like two dogs in a flock, but it's Hooven Zelazet, and they're always angry at each other. So Hooven literally means yellow, so like their faces are always turning colors against each other. Buzz Zev ala Echad, but then a wolf comes and attacks one of them. Amar Echad, so the other dog thinks to itself, in any Ozroi, if I don't help my enemy over there, Hayom Hoda Gosil Lamachabalai, the wolf will now kill him, and tomorrow the wolf will come and attack me. So they both joined forces to go kill the wolf. The same way we have Midian and Moab joined forces when they figure they can defeat the Jewish people.
Well, Moab wasn't the man that would not go attack Moab.
The Jewish people weren't going to attack Moab. Yeah, that's true. Amra Papa Hainu Da Amri Inshi. This is like the expression people say. Kaukushta Vishunra, the weasel, or Yad Ramah says the mouse and the cat, which are natural enemies. Avidu Avdu Hilula, they made a party, they made a wedding, Mitarba de Bishgada, from the fact of the unlucky victim. Meaning the same idea, it was like a cat and a mouse or a cat and a weasel are natural enemies, but nevertheless, when there's an unlucky victim over there, they both share in the spoils. The pasuk continues by Yeshu Sore Moyov and Bilam. The pasuk continues that the elders of the princes of Moyov stayed together with Bilam when he told them stay overnight and in the morning and overnight the Eibishter will talk to me and I'll know what to do. So it says the people the princes of Moyov stayed with Midian, with Bilam. The Sore Midian Lahechan Azul. So where did the Sore Midian go? No. Now they were joining forces. So why aren't they mentioned? The reason is Kivin de Omelu Linu Payalaila Vashibaisi Eskamdavar, because when Bilam told them, stay overnight and I'll tell you in the morning, Omru, the elders of Midian, thought to themselves, Klumyash Ab, the Sonya Shoshona, you know, do you ever have a father who hates his children? In other words, of course, Bilam has to ask permission by the Eidish there, and the Jewish people are the Eidish's children. Forget about it, it's not going to happen. We may as well not waste our time. So they left. So why didn't the Sore Moyav leave? So Mepharshim says, because the Sore Moyav were under Balak's control. Balak was the king of Moyav, so like they had no choice. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, another thing we see from the story, Rav Nachman says, chutzpah to the klapa shmaya mahani. When a person is chutzpahdik, it's even effective against the Eibishter, against the Eibishter's will. Namely, me'ikut sivlat seva simon. Because originally what happens, the Eibishter comes to Bilam in a dream that night and tells him, don't go with them, let's seva simon, let's sorry, ta'am. But eventually, but Bilam claims that the Abish doesn't want me to go with lower ranking people like you. He's just saying higher ranking people, etc. And then what happens? The next time, the Abish comes to him again in a dream and tells him, you know what? If you're insisting on going with them, then go. Then go. You just have to say exactly what I tell you. So we see that his chutzpah, so to speak, won out over the Abish. The first day, Abish is telling him not to go, and then, okay, fine, go.
I thought Bilam was fine.
Yeah,
fine. I thought Bilam. You can go with them physically, but not in the same idea.
Eino chanami. There is indeed an explanation. I think it's from the Vilna Gaon that there is a difference between imahem and itam, where imahem means you with the same mentality, and itam just means physically with them. Yeah. Nevertheless, though, the fact is, first the Eibishter is telling him not to go at all, and then because he's chutzpahdik, the Eibishter says, "Kaviyachol says fine, go." Amar Rav Sheshes, chutzpah ma chutzpah v'loy togi. Chutzpah is like an uncrowned king, meaning that chutzpah is a very powerful thing. That's like all it needs is a crown to be equivalent to a kingship. You have a pasuk where David says about Yoav and his brother, who was still Abner, but Anochi Ayem Racham Mashuach Melech, I am today still newly crowned and anointed as king. These people, the sons of Tsuruya, Yoav and his brother Abishai, are too difficult for me to deal with. Therefore, in other words, that's why he's saying I can't punish them right now for killing Abner, and he had to curse Yoav, as we talked about earlier in the Masechta. Why? Because they had this chutzpah, and that chutzpah is almost is nearly as powerful as David's own kingship. So we see that chutzpah is like an uncrowned king. Bilam was lame in one leg. As the pasuk says, Bilam went shefi. How does shefi mean lame? Rashi brings from Gemara and Cholin that you have a case over there involving an animal whose hip is dislocated, where it's called the shof miduchte, that it moved from its place. So therefore, he was lame in that his hip joint was moved from its place. Some of the Mephoshim say, by the way, this came about, you know, in the story over there when he's riding on a donkey, and at one point the donkey is riding by a place that is a fence with a stone wall on one side, it pressed against the wall to get away from the malach and crushed his foot against the wall. That's the And what's the point, therefore? What's the point of mentioning that he's lame in one leg? Marshall says, nevertheless, he's still so eager to go curse the Jewish people. He didn't say, well, it's hard for me, I'm handicapped, I can't get around, no. Shimshin b'shteiraglov. Shimshin was lame in both legs. It says in Yaakov's bracha to Shevet Dan, where he's predicting the career of Shimshin, and he calls him Shefifon Alei Arach. Shefifon, the simple meaning of Shefifon, is some kind of snake. But we're doubting Shefifon means a double shefi, Alei Arach on the road, and Noshech Ikvesus that bites the heels of the horse. So what's the point that he was lame in both legs? Again, Marshall says he was meant in Shimshin's praise, even though he was lame in both legs. He still went to try and save the Jewish people over and over. What, that he's lame? No, the pastor said it throughout his life. No. Okay.
Well, he was so strong and he was lame in both.
Yeah. Bilam suma ba'achas ne'enavoya. Bilam was also blind in one eye. Shenemesh sum ha'oyen, as it says, that he has an open eye. Shesum, Rashi says, means open. So therefore, Rashi says that the implication is, if he's saying shesum ha'ayen, that one eye is open and blind, the other eye is closed. Rashi on the Pasuk gives a different explanation, which is that Shsum actually means that he had one eye was missing from its socket, so like the socket is permanently open, and the other eye functioned normally. So he was blind in one eye. Koysim b'amosahoya, also another thing about Bilam, he used to do magic using b'amosah, using his organ, using his ear. We learned earlier in the Masechta when we talked about Oiv and Yidoni, that in Baal Oiv, and somebody who does that, a mal of the schorei, that one possibility is brings up the spirit of a mess and has it rest on his aid. Yadra Ma says a little bit differently. Koysim b'amosah, like there were markings or whatever on his aver, and he would use those to determine like what's going to happen in the future or whatever. Mabre Ravina, I'm a shabal afsoine. Mabre Ravina says another thing about him, or maybe it's the same thing. What do we mean? Koysim b'amosah, he had relations with his donkey. Manda, I'm a koysim b'amosah hoya kidamara. Oh, you know what? I skipped the line. Okay. Koysim b'amosah hoya. How do we know that? Ksiv hocha noifel agluya noyim, because it says over here, it describes Bilam that he was falling with his eyes uncovered, meaning he fell down. It actually says on the pasuk over there that because he didn't have a bris milah, therefore he fell down every time he heard the voice of Hashem. It's too powerful for him. But still, it uses the word noifel. It says that Haman was falling on the bed with Esther, and Achashverosh comes in back from the garden over there and thinks that Haman is trying to rape Esther. So we see, therefore, that there's an association between noifel and the Aver. Ismael. So we have to have a discussion on this. On this. What do we learn from this word noifel? Marzutra on the Kotim Amasai. Marzutra says that he did Kishuk using his Amma. Mabre Ravina says that it means he had relations with his donkey. We just said that we learned it from the word noisel. What about the other opinion, Mabre Ravina, who says that he had relations with his donkey? How do we know that? Because Ksiv Hocha Korah Shokav, because in one place, in his brachas, you have the word Korah Shokav, he crouched and lay down. Then you have a pasuk by Sisra and Yoel that it says he bowed down and fell and lay down. And the Gemara mentions in a few places, the Gemara mentions in Nazir and in Horius, that it means that Sisra had relations with Yoel. So therefore we see that the expression korah nafal, korah shokav, means to have relations. So the question is, the words korah shokav are part of Bilam's bracha to the Jewish people. How do we take that as a description of him himself? So some of the Meforshim say that actually it's the actual
description of the Jewish people.
It's on the face. It's the description of the Jewish people. That the Jewish people crouch down like a lion, and then they like a lion that nobody can disturb them. So why are we using it as shocham, and they lie down like who would dare disturb a sleeping lion? So why are we using it as a description of Bilam? So some of the Meforshim say you're right. We meant to the Gemara meant the other the, again the same pasuk as before. Noifel agluya na'im or whatever. Not korah shocham. Some of the Achronim talk about the Rashash mentions, the Rabbi Reuben Margolius mentions. The vote is, a lot of times you can tell a lot about a person by the wording they use. The very fact that Bilam used the word Korah Shachav in his brachas implies that that's where his mind was, on Korah Shachav, on Znus. And therefore he ended up using that expression. So therefore it does tell us what kind of person he was. Later on, in Vilam's Brachas, he says, he describes himself, he says that I who know the mind of the higher one, I know the mind of the Eibishter. So what does that mean? He doesn't even know what his animal is thinking. He doesn't know in the discussion over here that what his animal is going to say, what his donkey is going to say, Das Elyon Havayada. How could he claim to know the mind of the Eibishter? So before we get to the answer, we have to... My Das Behemta, what do we mean he didn't know what his animal was thinking? We'll get back to the question what he means by a dead Das Elyon soon, but first, the Amrilay, namely the people who were going with him when he's on his way to Balak, the people ask him, My time alo rachav to susya, why aren't you riding a horse? A distinguished person like you should be riding a horse, not a donkey. Amalahu, he answers them, Shaddai lahu b'tiva, I left my horse pasturing in the grass, where there's fresh grass. No, therefore I didn't have my horse available. There is, by the way, there's a drush that they say on this, that he's actually not referring to now. He's referring to many years earlier during Makas Barad in Mitzrayim. We know the pasuk says that the Egyptians who were Yorei Shamayim brought their animals in when Moshe warned that all the animals should be inside. The ones who didn't, they left their animals in the field. Bilam was one of those. That wasn't Yorei, it's Rav Hashem. Therefore, his horse was killed in Makas Barad, and apparently in all the years since, he was never able to save up more to buy another one. Okay, so anyway, so I left it out in the pastures. Omrele, but the donkey answers him, what are you talking about? I am your donkey. I've always been your beast of burden. So in other words, he's claiming falsely that he has a horse that's not available right now. But the donkey is refuting him. So therefore, you see, he didn't even know what the donkey was going to be saying. So he says, okay, let's inabal alma. Fine, you're right. I have you as my regular donkey. But I've always used you to carry only packages. Note, the donkey continues, asher rachav to olai. Note, but you always rode on me. The whole passage goes that the junkie says, "Haloyam noichi asoncha asher rochav to olai meodcha deyemazeh." The junkie says, "Aren't I your junkie that I've always ridden, that you've always ridden on me from as long as you've lived?" Why are you hitting me? Have I ever been accustomed to acting this way, to crouching down and trying to run away or whatever? Yeah. So okay. So meodcha deyemazeh. So asher rochav to olai. No, you ride on me. You don't just use me for packages. Okay, he says, I cry about Alma Fan. Once in a while, maybe I ride on you. Nope. All the time, as long as you've been alive, you've been riding on me. So everything he's saying, the donkey is slugging him up.
Yeah.
And not only that, but not only that, I'm made to act for you as a wife by night, as we just said. He was Mizana with his donkey. And how do we know that? Because here the donkey says, the simple meaning of a haske and a scanty means, have I ever been accustomed to doing this kind of thing? But we can also douse in haske and as Meloshin, it says about when David was old and he had no body heat, they brought Abishag HaShunamit to lie with him and warm him up. So Yitaka didn't have relations with her, but nevertheless, they lay in bed together. So therefore we see that the word Hahaske Niskanti can refer to lying in bed together. She's asking Hahaske Niskanti. Rashi mentions in a number of places in Tanakh that sometimes you have a rhetorical question in Tanakh, but sometimes the answer to the question is yes. So she can be the simple meaning is Hahaske Niskanti, have I ever been accustomed to doing this kind of thing? And he says, pack enough. But over here we would say, Hahaske Niskanti, don't you realize that I've been acting that you've been making me act in my issues all the time? So don't think you're claiming to these guys falsely that you have a regular horse and maybe you only use these for packages or whatever. That's not true. Yeah. Okay, so we're back to the question then. So if he didn't even know what his donkey is going to answer each time, well, how could he claim be a dead Malamai, be a dead Abdelian? It means he knew the exact moment every day when the Eibishter gets angry. And therefore he figured he can use that moment to curse the Jewish people. The Gemara in Brachas mentions, and also in Avodah Zarah, mentions that
every day.
We're going to learn that in the Gemara soon. We may not get to it today, but we may at this point get to it tomorrow, but whatever. The Gemara in Brachas mentions that it's actually a very short amount of time, like 1/58,000th of an hour or something, so like a fraction of a second. Tosfos actually asked the question over there, what does Bilam expect to accomplish during that fraction of a second anyway? Tosfos gives two answers. One is he can say the word Kalim.
Huh?
One is he can say the single word Kalim, destroy them.
Second of all,
Tosfos says maybe the vote is once Bilam knows the exact moment that happened, as long as he starts his clawless, then even if he continues afterwards, then it would be enough. Yeah.
Shem wasn't angry at who? In general or against the Yidden?
Specifically, we say later on in the Gemara that every day there comes a point, the Gemara says later on, every day there's a point when the kings throughout the world go and worship the sun, and at that point the Eibishter gets angry.
Oh, okay.
So the point is, it's still at the time of anger. It's a time of anger, Lamaila,
that's
and therefore
right.
Bilam. Yeah, it's like the opposite of an Eitzar Asenim. Behind the Amalahu Navi Lisrael, this is the meaning of what the Navi Micha says to the Jewish people. Ami, my it's in the Haftarah Balak, doctor, appropriately enough. Ami, my people, Zechorna Mayat Balak Malach Mayav. Remember, please, what Balak, the king of Mayav, was advised to do. And Bilam ben Ba'ur answered him, Mina Shittim Badagil. Well, remember how the Eveshter brought you from Shittim to, you did Averis in Shittim until Gilgal, and nevertheless the Eveshter has still been doing with you Tzedakah throughout. Laman Dach Tzidkas Hashem. So you should realize the Tzedakah of the Eveshter. My Laman Dach Tzidkas Hashem. So what do we mean? What does that last word mean to remember the Tzidkas of the Eveshter? Omelahena Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Du'una Kamat Tzedakas Hasisi Machem. Realize how much how much chesed I did with you, but throughout all those days when Bilam was trying to curse you, I didn't do my usual moment of anger as I do every other day. Because had I gotten angry during any of those days, his curses taka would have been effective. Not a remnant or a refugee would have been left over from Sinai and Sharisrael, the famous euphemism meaning the Jewish people themselves.
So that refutes Bilam.
Normally he knew, but today, these days, it wasn't happening. Thus, we find that Bilam says to Balak over there in Parashas Balak, how can I curse if the Eveshter is not cursing Gomer? He continues, what can I do? The Eveshter is not getting angry these days. I don't know, I don't understand why, but therefore my curses aren't going to be effective. But that was a special tzedakah of the Eveshter did for the sake of the Jewish people, so that Bilam's curses tackle won't work.
Anyway, then.